I'm wrestling, not weak for me. Celebrate what I am. Celebrate what I have been. Celebrate what I represent. And celebrate the many ways I have impacted your life. I will survive this test as I have survived others. I am forever etched into the very fiber of all mankind. The world needs me. Time is on my side. History guarantees me. I am wrestling. Do not wait for me.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 101 of the T-Row and Funky Show, brought to you, as always, by Defense Hope, Defend What You've Built, and Dahlmer Mats. And today is going to be our NCAA Championship preview, and unfortunately, Mr. Tommy Rollins can't be with us. His schedule and my schedule just would not work out, and so I had to find a qualified replacement for him. And who I found, I think you guys will find very fantastic. His name is Marcus Hayne, a.k.a. the lighter shade of white, a.k.a. Stu Stallings, my college teammate, close friend, and also Big 12 champion, and now founder and owner of Thoroughbred Wrestling Academy in St. Louis, Missouri. Marcus, what's up tonight?
A lot, but just got home from seating meeting for the Youth State Series, so that was an adventure.
I can't imagine how rough that would be.
It wasn't too bad. I got to talk to a lot of good coaches, and most of them are pretty down to earth. You just get a couple crazy ones that go off the rails. But
you want to say the crazy one's name on the podcast or what?
No, because one of them was the dad from my club, so I'll just keep that.
Oh, damn, you gave him away, dog.
I remember all the time. He's all right. He just got in an argument over but the guy he was arguing with, it wasn't making any sense. He was trying to argue a seed because he had beat him five times. But
they're freaking 9-year-olds. Come on, man.
Well, he beat him like 3 years ago. And it's like, well, we're not seeding the tournament for 3 years ago. It's now. And so I don't know what he was going at. But I was kind of also listening from the outskirts, so I wasn't really taking part. I may have misheard. I was just barely eavesdropping. So
nice. Well, we're going to do the NCAA picks. Listen, Tommy and I talked about conference championships last weekend. That was a lot of fun. Frankly, we didn't even get to all of it because it was just too much to discuss. And as we were doing that show, the NCAA brackets came out, and now they're fully out, so we could kind of dissect them. You and I are going to make our picks. And you guys all know now you got double Missouri homers here. And we don't have to listen to Tommy's Buckeye homerism, although I have picked Ohio State to win the NCAA championship. I think it's going to be tight. I think the race is going to be close the whole time, but I do think Ohio State's going to pull it out. Is that how you're feeling also?
I went hard, too, on the opposite direction of Buckeye homerism.
Well, see, what you're thinking Penn State's going to roll?
I think that they're going to win, and then I picked against some I don't know. I did a little bit of I kind of got a little balance, I think.
Okay.
I picked a couple of Buckeyes to do well, and I picked a couple to get upset. So
okay, well, let's get right into it. All right, so in this 125 bracket, I think what you got is you got the top four. You got Darian Cruz, Spencer Lee, Nick Soriano, Nato. You know, I can't really see anyone else winning this bracket. And the kids at my academy keep trying to harass me about Ethan Lezak winning. But I think as far as what's happened this year, I think that's a stretch. Is it you got the same four? Or do you think anyone else outside that has an opportunity to win or even make the finals?
I got the same four. I'm right along with you. There's no way that Lezak, the backpack, can pull that one out.
I don't think so. You know, I think he could have a potential close match with Darian Cruz. The tough part being there that he does cut a lot of weight, and that is a quarterfinal, which will be Friday morning, obviously. I could see him getting that far, but getting past Soriano or Lee or Nato, when we've seen the result of that this year, I find that one so hard to believe. I think the big question mark here is Nick Soriano, who with his default out, he's actually undefeated, but he ended up with the 4 seed behind Nato and Lee. And so you have the two undefeated guys, funny enough, on the top side at the 1 and the 4. And it's funny how hush-hush Rutgers is keeping it because you are, maybe you're on the inside and I'm not, but I'm not hearing anything about Nick Serrano's injury.
No, I mean it was. It's kind of frustrating because it's a similar situation as last year. I mean, you know, we just don't know. It's just a big question.
Last year, I knew Cale was lying like a dog. I knew it. I freaking guaranteed it last year. I mean, the way he went off that leg and the way he didn't do anything at Big Tens, I thought Cale was lying last year. This year, listen, Marcus, I thought he looked good at Big Tens. I thought I was kind of surprised when he defaulted out because I thought he could have kept wrestling.
Right. Yeah, I mean, but I think it is still a question mark because he did look good, but we didn't get to see him, you know, through that for over a long period of time through the whole tournament and into those, you know, finals matches and things like that where the pressure's on and where it gets a lot tighter and your room for error becomes much smaller.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's my thought, and you can give me your picks. I'll give you, we'll switch weight classes. So I'll take the odds starting with this one. We're gonna pick semis and finalists. I'm gonna say Nick Serrano over Darren Cruz to make the finals. I think Nick's healthy. I thought he looked good at the Big Tens. I think it was maybe more precautionary than anything. And then I'm gonna take Nato over Lee again. I think what we saw in the Big Tens. I think we're gonna see a very similar match. I think they respect each other a lot. I think Nato is going to have. Spencer Lee's gonna have a hard time generating offense against Nathan Thomas, which we've seen they've done two matches, and I don't believe he has one takedown in either of those matches. So I think Nato's going to make the finals, and I see Nato winning his second title over Nick Serrano in another nail-biter, you know, a 3-2, 4-3 type of match.
So we have the exact same semifinal and exact opposite finals.
So you got Lee versus Cruz?
I got Lee versus Cruz, and Lee pulls it out.
Damn. Okay. And so how do you see in your head? How do you see Lee beating Nathan Tomasello? Is he going to ride him? Is he going to take him down? What's he going to do?
Yeah, it's just like kind of like you said. There's two, like, you know, they kind of neither one of them really wrestled the style that they wrestle normally.
Yeah, because they're usually both so aggressive.
Yeah, and I think it's going to come down to either a riding time point or the ride outs.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying, and I think it's going to be a coin toss match where either guy could have won it. And then,
so we're not too far apart because we both think that's a one takedown match. And it,
right.
I mean, which I think is probably a normal thought process that most people have.
Now, Serrano and Cruz, I think, I don't know. Cruz has been there and he's won it. And I got to give the nod to him, especially with the Serrano being a question mark.
Marcus, you give him some respect because no one gives Darren Cruz any damn respect up in here.
Well, that's the problem, man. No, I didn't even know who he was last year. I mean, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but definitely did not pick him to win a national title last year.
Listen, anyone who says they picked Darren Cruz to win a national title last year is a liar. Well, they're lying. They're lying.
Talking to his mom. Come on.
Well, his mom, maybe his mom. But besides his mom and maybe his coaches, they're all lying. Because nobody was picking him to beat Gilman. That just wasn't happening.
I agree.
All right, 133. I think, again, we're not – I guess I'll call it a four-horse race. Ernesti at 5, I would love to be able to throw him in there. And I could see – honestly, I could see John Ernesti upsetting Cade Brock. But I can't see Ernesti going all the way.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you. And I'll be pulling for him to upset Cade Brock.
And then when we go on the bottom side, same thing. I could see DeSanto getting an upset or two, but I could see Austin DeSanto losing to Jack Mueller second round.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's a wild card. I mean, he wrestles that open style. It's very exciting, but with that comes a lot more opportunity for people to capitalize on mistakes and openings, so.
Yeah, so your turn to make some picks, Marcus. Let's hear what you got. Semis and finals.
Again, I'm going way out there. All right, it's not that way out there. But I think that I definitely steered away from the easy, safe choices. All right, so you know my pick for the semis would be pretty safe. I'm going to say Gross and Brock in the semis. I think that's like you said. I'm going to be pulling for that number 5 seed Ernesti to pull the upset.
I think on the other side, it's going to be Pletcher versus Micić.
I thought you said you're going way out there.
I'm going
you
out there for
one,
the,
two,
for the
three,
finals.
And four.
My finals.
Oh, okay.
That's right. My finals and my winners are not what I would consider safe bets. Okay. So in the finals, I've got Micić over Gross.
That's two over one, dog. Yeah, I thought you were telling me Cade Brock over Pletcher or something.
Nah, I mean, I got some crazy. When I say, I wasn't talking necessarily specifically about this week, about being crazy, but I got a little crazy with some of these. So
well,
this one's not crazy.
I don't think that's that far off. I mean, Stephen Micić, he had one bad day in December and people kind of wrote him off. But he's damn good. I mean, really good. So here's how I see it going down. I think Ernesti does actually have a very good chance against Cade Brock because, as we remember now, I want to bring this up a few times, Marcus. This is the only 3-day weight in the tournament, which, right. As you know, you cut some weight in your day. It's tough. And Cade Brock is a big weight cutter. You know, I think, and obviously he's held down there because Dean Hiles at 141. They're not going to bump him out of the lineup.
Right.
So I really do think the quarterfinal matchup for Cade Brock is very tough. It's going to be his second day making weight, and I'm going to go ahead and call it an Ernesti upset over Cade Brock because he did have him stuck in Stillwater. No, I think that's a reach, and you know, most people will call me a homer for that. But go ahead. I see Seth Gross taking out John Ernesti in the semis. I'm going to go with Pletcher. I just think he's got too much. I think Stephen Micić's got too much for Luke Pletcher. I actually do think, like I brought up, I think Jack Mueller gives Austin DeSanto a lot of trouble and beats him in the quarterfinal, in the round of 16. I think you're going to have Stephen Micić over. No, I lied. Seth Gross is the man. I love him.
He's tough.
Tough.
He's real tough.
I love how he wrestles from everywhere. I love how aggressive he is. He's one of those guys that can score from everywhere. So
yeah. I mean, if you don't have some respect for Seth Gross, you know, between him and Meredith doing that match this year, I got a lot of respect for him. So, and he's freaking good too.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so for 141, this is a weight where we're going to kind of go pretty deep. Where, you know, I think it stops at six. The guys that can win, I think. You know Nick Lee on a personal level. You're probably going to try to throw him in the mix somewhere. But what we got, Meredith, Ironman, Yanni, McKenna, Jack, and Heil. So here's how I see it going down. I get to give my picks first on this weight.
It's all you.
Oh,
it's your
man.
Show. I'm neither T-Rex.
Today is the Funky and Stu Stallings show.
Who is this?
All right, so who I really wish, if I got to pick how this bracket, I would really love to see Yanni and Jaden Ironman in the finals. I've got the opportunity to coach Yanni when he was way younger. I also got to watch Jaden Ironman since forever. I would really like to see those guys in the finals. Obviously, they're on the same side. I think they're going to meet in the quarters. I heard something about Dean Hiles. It says Dean Hiles, that people are saying he's in Cleveland, he's going to bring it home. I don't see it, Marcus. I don't think he's been the Dean Hiles of old all year long. And the fact that he's got five losses this year when he had zero in the last two goes to further my point. So I think here's Yanni versus Jaden in the semi on the bottom side. I think it's going to be a wild match. I think Jaden's going to come out on top. I didn't want to predict the score. It's going to be like 11-9, 12-10, something freaking crazy. On the top side, I think I want to get Meredith over Jack. And then, you know, that's a rivalry. So, obviously, I have Jack over McKenna in the quarters. Meredith over Jack, something that you know, goes back forever. And then in the finals, we're going to get another national champ from the University of Missouri, Jaden Ironman, fellas.
Well, we have partially the same. The end result is the same with a Tiger getting
so
what,
much Missouri homerism.
Sixth individual person to win a national title for Mizzou. It'll be the ninth individual title when Jaden wins this weight class.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
You know, you mentioned Nick Lee. Listen, sidebar. Nick Lee, if you're listening to this, I'm not counting you out. But you and I both know at Big Tens, you didn't wrestle in the way to win a national title. I hope you show up in Cleveland and prove me wrong. Now, back to the bracket.
Well, I do think Marcus, so Nick Lee is your friend. He's not my friend. I think Nick Lee is slightly overrated. I think, and the reason I say that, and obviously he's number 8 as a freshman, so he's a very high-level wrestler. I think people gave him the Penn State bump, where they thought he's going to go to Penn State, and all of a sudden he's going to get immaculately better in 1 year, and I don't think that's quite happened yet.
Well, I would push back a little bit on that, and I would say that I don't know that he's getting the Penn State bump. I think he's getting the best version of Nick Lee bump, which is he's being ranked on him at his best. Yeah, and I don't think that he's able to – he hasn't figured out how to be at his best every single match, which, let's be serious, if we figured that out, we'd have another Kale Sanderson. But that's a whole nother set of talks right there. On this one, man, here's one that I was talking about earlier. I went off the rails besides the end result, okay? But I pick – I think I had my semi is McKenna and Ironman.
Wait.
So – I think McKenna, I don't
think McKenna's going to make the finals?
Yes.
What?
Okay. Listen to me, all right? So I don't think he had the toughest bracket at Big Tens.
Duh.
But that doesn't factor in when you consider confidence and a rhythm and being on a roll. And I think he got into a rhythm and into a groove last weekend. Well, you know.
2 weekends ago.
2 weeks ago. Week and a half ago. And I think he just looked really good. Again, I know he didn't have the toughest bracket, but – I thought he looked really solid, really tough. And man, if you would have asked me a week ago, I would have picked Meredith probably to win the whole thing. And Meredith didn't do anything to make me not pick him. I think I just saw some other things that I'm just feeling. Like, my gut's telling me upset Central here. So, I don't know.
Okay.
But it's not that big of an upset.
So, you're going Ironman over McKenna in the finals.
Yeah.
What do you think about Deani Ironman? You think similar to me?
Yes, 100%. It's gonna be like the team race. It's not gonna be decided until the last couple of seconds.
Absolutely, because they're both so dangerous. Cradles, everything coming out of nowhere.
But I tell you what, regardless of the outcome of that match, that's one I'm gonna have the popcorn ready for, because I know there ain't gonna be no stalling around, sitting around waiting.
They didn't go to stall camp. They definitely did not.
It ain't gonna be 1-0, 100%. I know that.
All right, 149, I have to say, the most boring bracket of the tournament. And when we talk about who's going to win, I think we go down to one. That's it.
Yeah. Who'd you pick in the semis, though?
It's your pick. You're the evens.
I mean, come on. It's really?
You are. Like,
no, I know that, but I'm saying, you know, I got to go with Sorensen. I'm pulling for Leith in the upset in the semis. He's going to see him in the semis. Fantastic. I think it's a really good match. I hope Leith comes out on top.
I mean, but the thing about it that, I mean, no, I mean, I feel like people are discounting Leith because he has not had the toughest schedule this year. But the one thing that's pretty obvious about, sorry, folks, you hear my dog in the background being harassing me. the thing about Leith Sorensen that people are not considering is, that's going to be a one takedown match.
Right.
Sorensen is not an offensive dynamo by any means, and Leith is really hard to score on. It's going to be a freaking one takedown match.
And let's the elephant in the room. Sorensen's going to have to deal with the neck brace. He hasn't felt it.
Neck brace.
No. How do you collar tie that?
Seriously, how do you collar tie it?
I think if they were smart, Sorensen would have been bringing in, like,
well, Joe Johnson used to wear a neck brace. I think he was the originator of it when he was at Iowa. So Iowa, you know, they might have experience dealing with neck brace type situation. Didn't Phil Ketty wear a neck brace too?
Who?
Phil Ketty. I think he wore a neck brace for a while.
So it's an Iowa thing. So they probably have neck braces laying all over the place up there.
Neck braces and knee braces. That's what they got.
So, yeah, I mean, so he's either going to be not prepared or very well prepared for the neck brace.
The neck brace has his Twitter handle. Is that you making that Twitter handle or what?
I wish I could claim that. That's ingenious. I wish I would have thought. I don't have time to upkeep my own Twitter account, let alone Grant Leith's neck brace.
You got kids now, so you can't be playing around anymore. This ain't like college.
Yeah, game time's over.
All right. So are you ballsy enough or homerish enough to pick Leeds with the upset over Brandon Sorensen?
I'm going to say – I got to balance it out. I think Sorensen's going to win that one.
All right, I'm going to
I'm pulling for Grant to win that one. I'm 100% rooting for him to win.
Yep, and then I'm sure we both have Zane in the finals.
If we don't, then you should probably kick me off this podcast right now.
Because you're a moron.
Because you just told all these people at the very beginning that I was qualified.
All right. 157. We get a lot more fun here at 157 because we don't know what the heck's going to go down here.
I know exactly what's going to go down here.
Well, okay. Well, lay it out for me. It's your turn. Okay, fine.
Your turn.
Well, we got Hayden. I'm going to run through the bracket first. We got Hayden Headley, number one. A lot of people know who he is. Undefeated freshman, NC State. Very, very tough. His one big win was over number two and returning national finalist, Joey LaValle of Missouri. And then, you know, the story of the conferences was the injury defaults. You had both Jason Nolf and Michael Kemmer injury defaulting out. The picture of them in sixth place together was so glorious. it was just hilarious. So you got those guys meeting up in the quarters. I mean, Micah Jordan at 7 hasn't had a great year. He's got 6 losses. But to say he doesn't have a chance against Joey LaValle, that's bull crap. You know, even as a Mizzou guy, I got to say Micah Jordan definitely has a chance to match. And then you got Pantelio Shields on the top side, which Pantelio has been about as hot and cold as you can get this year. And Shields does hold the win over him. So, and then, oh, God, you know, and then you don't know how either one of those guys is going to fare against Hayden Hidley. So, to me, this bracket is a disaster. My gut tells me I'm nervous to do this because I don't know that he can be good this many matches in a row.
My gut tells me
Alec Pantelio.
No.
Yes, that's what my gut tells me. It could be way off. I mean, this dude could lose. This dude lost to Ian Brown. He could lose first round, Marcus. So
I'm not saying this with
a high level of confidence. 20 times
and end up with 20 different All-Americans.
Okay,
not but 20
he has the skill set to. I mean, Pantelio has the skill set to get the finals, and I'm picking him to do it. On the other side, as much as I want to pick Joey LaValle, I'm picking Jason Nolf. He's another one, just like Soriano. People are saying he didn't look that great at Big Ten. I thought he looked okay. I didn't think he looked that bad.
Listen,
I'm telling you right now, Nolf over Jason Nolf
to get beat, he's got to be pretty freaking hurt.
Oh yeah, I agree.
So you told me you knew how it was going to go down. Like, I mean, it's a little ridiculous to me because it's like if he was well enough to get out and wrestle, then he's well enough to beat anyone in this bracket.
Yes, I agree.
And that's saying something because I think that this is a pretty solid bracket.
Yeah. So tell me how it's going to go down. You told me it was gonna, how it was going down, and I still don't know how it's going down.
Well, you know, I got Nolf over Hidley in the finals.
Okay. Well,
I think that Nolf, we get a rematch of the finals in the semis. I think LaValle makes the semis and has a shootout with Nolf. I think LaValle will be able to keep it close probably for a little while. And then till he gets in the third, and he'll be probably down by a point or two, and he'll have to start creating more opportunities, and that's when it's either going to start going well for him or start going worse for him.
Okay.
On the top side, I think, I agree with you. I think that there's a couple different options. I think Hidley makes the semis, and then you either going to have, a Pantaleo or a Shield.
You say Pantaleo also? Tommy always makes fun of me for saying that.
I don't know what it is. I've never met the guy.
He alleges it's Pantaleo, and he thinks I'm stupid for saying anything else.
Maybe I've listened, because I've literally listened to all 100 episodes of this podcast.
Wow! I wonder how many people actually have.
Maybe you have ingrained it in my head. Like, I might be a little
bit. Well, Tommy yells at me every time I say Pantaleo.
Pantaleo, Pantelio. Neither one makes any sense. He's a really good wrestler, but his last name doesn't make any sense. And that's coming from a guy that has my last name makes no sense.
Yeah. Okay. Hoen. Hoen.
Hoen. Hoen. Yeah.
Okay.
I just spell it. I
don't we both got Nolf winning.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. So, 165 pounds. To me, this one goes, I don't care what you say, Marcus, it goes too deep. It's Chenzo versus Aymar in the finals. I can't see another scenario. Am I way off in this one?
No.
Do you see the same thing?
I think that, those two are above, the only way that it doesn't go that way is if Joseph gets a little lackadaisical like he did a couple other matches. But being the national tournament, he's got Kale, great coaching staff. I think they're going to have his head on right. I don't think that he's going to be messing around.
So who are you picking to win?
Aymar. Of course.
Go for it.
Yeah. I don't think Chenzo can pull that one out again.
I don't think so. I don't think it's his biggest. Now, there is always the possibility that Vincenzo gets headlocked by Branson Ashworth or Isaiah White, for God's sakes, and gets stuck.
Wait a minute.
Because he's been on his back a lot lately.
Ashworth to beat Flynn in the first round?
Well, I hope not.
Get out of here with that.
Connor Flynn doesn't have a good headlock, though.
I know. That's why he's going to have a hard time against Joseph, but he's going to whoop up on Ashworth.
Okay. Fair enough. That's St. Louis guy. I know you St. Louis guys got to stick together.
Somebody's got to look out for us.
I think the Massa Wick round of 16 is a crazy match. And if Massa wins that, I think he beats McFadden. And that would put him in the semis, but he's close with Vincenzo, but I don't think he's beating him.
I wish I had one of those DJ buttons like for sound effects.
Yeah.
You know the one where they it's like way overused, where like bow, bow, bow,
bow, bow, bow. Like, no, I don't know that one.
Hot seat. I'm putting you on the hot seat.
Okay, go.
I got a couple questions here for you. Two guys, I want to know where they line out for you. First one, Marinelli. Where's he end up?
Well, let me see where I think he goes. I'll do front side and back side. Well, so let's see. I think he beats Jacob Morrissey. I think he beats Nick Wanzek. I actually think he beats Chad Walsh. I think his draw was pretty fantastic. So I guess I think he loses to Isaiah Martinez, which would mean that he would have Richie Lewis and he'll have Richie Lewis because Richie Lewis is going to beat Isaiah White and then lose to Vincenzo Joseph. And then, or he'll have the winner of, but this is tough because I think if Wick wins against Massa, which he's done twice, I think he loses to McFadden. Mm. I think if Massa beats Wick, he also beats McFadden. So that's kind of a messed up thing down there. So I guess you're saying he's in the Conti semi versus either Lewis, Massa, Wick, or McFadden. I think he loses.
And I'm pulling
I think he
Lewis
loses to all of those people.
I want to see Richie Lewis flexing on brands again.
Well, Logan Massa, he did too.
Okay, so either one of those guys I'll be happy with.
Okay, so I think here's what I think. I think Alex Marinelli takes another semi-slot.
So what does he finish? Third?
No, semi-slide is
– Oh, slide.
You never heard of semi-slide when they lose three in a row?
I thought you said spot.
Oh, okay. So I think he takes a semi-slide. I think he makes a semis. I think he loses three in a row.
That's not that surprising with the draw that he got because he got a really, I think, like you said, pretty fantastic draw.
Frankly, this is one of the draws, and I'm not one of these geeks that can tell you every single match that happened this year like CP and Willie could. But for me, with Marinelli, maybe it's the recency bias. But I think a match in March, 2 weeks before the NCAA tournament, is a more valid indicator of where a person's at than a match in December. That could totally be me, but that's how I feel about it.
I agree. Okay, so
wait, before we put it on the seat. So Alex Marinelli in the 5 seed over Evan Wick getting the 10. Evan Wick finished 3rd at the Big Ten Championship, 3 whole spots higher than Alex Marinelli, and he beat 2 different people that beat Alex Marinelli. And so, you know, him being five spots below, man, that's a hard one for me. And I know people want to say, well, he's got more losses. Sure, I get it. I get that. But a bunch of them were in November, December. And he finished spots higher.
I'm just saying, let him wrestle.
Well, for what puts Wick in a much more difficult place, I mean, if you put Wick at a 7 and the masses move to like 8 or the 9, and you know, all of a sudden that spot's looking a whole lot better for Evan Wick.
Of course.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I don't know. I'm definitely not a very good seating person. I mean, I would be the least qualified person to be on a seating committee.
Definitely not the least qualified. But not maybe not very qualified.
I would not feel very confident in my ability to do it. I'm too much like you were kind of hinting at there, where it's like, well, he did this, but he also did this, and it's like, how much does what weigh? And that's where
I think their weighting criteria was bullcrap. It was like 8 different criterias. There's like, give me a freaking break here. This is patently ridiculous.
Well, I think that's where you have to be afforded a certain amount of kind of intellectual freedom to be able to say, like, I mean, basically, I love freedom. You just got to ask yourself the question when you're doing the seeding of, is this seed accurate to where I think that this person's going to finish based on their year so far?
Hey, Marcus, we had just mentioned, we were texting before this, we'd mentioned Union County a little bit. You know a phrase that I stole from Union County in like 2003?
I have so many phrases, so I can't wait to hear what one you have.
Father Baker.
Yeah?
He said, you're a great American. I use that freaking line all the time, Marcus.
You
are a great American.
That's a good one. I stole most of mine from Tim Urban, so.
There you go.
He's got some good one-liners.
Okay, so put me on the hot seat again. I'm excited.
All right. Not a lot of attention this year, surprisingly, on this one. I think it's kind of a question mark for me because I haven't been following him too close, but Chance Marsteller.
He's a wild, you know, to me, he's a wild card. Here's how I see him. He's got dynamic offense, the guys who aren't the best. And, you know, him and Imar wrestled at the University Nationals, and Imar won every time, but Chance got in there and scrapped with him. I mean, it wasn't Imar rolled over him. That wasn't what happened at all. They got there and they got down. But he kind of struggles to put up big points against the best guys. So, you know, I definitely see him. I think I'll see him beating Chandler Rogers. I think he's smart enough not to get caught in Chandler Rogers' spiderweb throws and shenanigans. I think he loses to Imar. And then I think, so that would put him on the backside versus Chad Walsh, who he just lost to, but it was by 1 second of riding time. And for what it was worth, I thought Chad Walsh stalled his butt off. So I could see him winning that match. And then he would have the loser of, well, it's going to be Chenzo over Massa Wick McFadden. I could see him winning that match. So, you know, I could also see him losing against Walsh. And so, yes. You know, you could see him anywhere from, say, a fourth place probably to all the way down to a not AA.
Did not place.
DNP.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. But I'm excited for it because I think that, you know, some of these other ones we've definitely discussed, I think there's a lot less unknowns. I think there's obviously, you know, you wrestle the match.
Yeah, and even you know,
upsets, but that's one that I think coming in, I don't really have any preconceived notions. I don't really know what to expect.
Even in even if we go all the way down to 11, Isaiah White, he gave Isaiah Martinez a good battle. I mean, again, he didn't roll over for Isaiah Martinez at all. And if you told me, Marcus, if you told me Isaiah White upset Richie Lewis, I'm not all that surprised. That's not a huge upset to me.
I think that, like we touched on a little bit, the top two are the top two. And I think this is really an impressive weight class as far as parity when you talk about the next echelon of guys.
Yeah, I mean, one guy that you know, we talked about Chance Marsteller being such a hot commodity and maybe he hasn't panned out or, you know, totally came to fruition. But another guy's Anthony Valencia. That dude took 5th U.S. Open as a high school senior, which is frankly, it's freaking unheard of. It very, very rarely, if ever, happens. He's had a very mediocre career. He's the 15 seed, for God's sakes. If you told me Marcus, if you told me when Anthony Valencia was a senior in high school, that in his sophomore year he's going to be the 15th seed, I would have told you you're out of your damn mind. I literally would have. I would have said there's a better chance of him being a freshman NCAA champion than him being a freaking 15th seed as a sophomore. I mean, so I brought up his U.S. Open where he took fifth place, but let's not forget, this is a guy, as a high schooler, he took out Isaiah Martinez three times, one of them being a 10-0 tech fall. He took out Tyler Caldwell, who was a two-time NCAA finalist. I mean, and I get that it's freestyle. Frankly, I understand that the freestyle and folk style are different. But when a guy's getting that many takedowns against that many high-level guys, that young, and he wasn't one of these guys that looks super mature like he's 34 years old when right. he's 17.
Sure.
And so for him to not develop, that's kind of mind-blowing when you see, you know, Zahid wasn't as good as Anthony was in high school. And now, damn, I mean, he's ridiculously good.
Yeah, I think that to me, you know, and our interest, particularly your interest in the sports psychology, and even from a physiological standpoint, I think it would be very interesting to kind of study those two. Because yeah. they have essentially, you know, nearly the same DNA.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like you're getting two very different results.
Yeah, that would be very interesting to study. And yeah, I mean, oh yeah, that would be fascinating to be inside there. I have to imagine it would be frustrating as a coach, unless Anthony Valencia just given up and doesn't want to train hard anymore. Which, from what I've heard, not the case whatsoever. You know, he's one of those kids that, for whatever reason, can't get over the mental hump. That would be so frustrating as a coach.
Sure. And I, you know, generally I don't see it at the college point, but I know I've seen several high school kids and middle school kids that have had that issue, and it's like an avalanche. Like, something breaks free, and then they get really good really quick. And, not very often have I seen that in college, but it's usually in high school that people break through that, and I don't know if it could be something like that. To where we see him, you know, in the next year or so, break free of that and really just kind of move into where his what we would all probably agree is his true potential.
Yeah, I totally agree. Okay, let's go to
segue to the other Valencia.
To the other Valencia, who he's freaking good. I don't get really really impressed very easily. He's good. He's so good. So I think we both pick him to make the finals. I think Amin versus Jordan Cutler, both those guys are really high level and they can give him a scrap, but for them beating Zahid Valencia, I don't see it. The fun one for me, hopefully you too, Marcus, is on the bottom side. 3 Daniel Lewis, number 2 Mark Hall, both undefeated. 28-0 and 29-0, both with a boatload of bonus points. And I genuinely think, when I realized at the conference championship weekend that this would be the 3 and the 2, I think Daniel Lewis has the right tools to beat Mark Hall.
I agree. I got Lewis over Hall making the finals.
Woo-wee! Okay, and so here's what I mean by, and I'll tell you what, I'm probably going to go definition of the right skills. He can ride. He might not pin as many people. I mean, he is a good pinner. He might not turn and pin as many people as, say, a Nickel or a Rutherford, but he can ride as well as anyone in the damn country. I mean, there's
Hold on.
What?
I beat Tommy for a second.
Go ahead.
You mean he stalls on top really good?
No, he abuses people to the point where their only hope is to lay flat and not get turned. That would be way more realistic.
I'm just joking, Tommy.
That was good. No, he doesn't love you, Tommy.
Well, my take on it is essentially, I think...
Well, Marcus, you should kind of be on Tommy's side because you also were not a very good rider.
But I got to be a good rider.
You got better.
I couldn't turn anyone, though.
Yeah.
So that was out of necessity, right? Like, you have to be able to ride someone.
I think it's an important skill. I'd love to be able to
turn someone. That's my goal, is to turn them on top, but it just never happened. So, sorry. I was trying. With Lewis, though, I think last year I don't want to get down on him, but last year I was very disappointed. I thought,
well, he freaking had Vincenzo in the semi with,
oh my god,
12 seconds left or something and blew it.
Yeah, it just looked like he just, I don't know, ran out of something. I don't know if it was gas or heart or whatever.
Well,
I don't question him.
He does run out of gas sometimes, Marcus, but and I think that's the one thing I like about the Mark Hall doesn't wrestle high pace at all.
No.
And I think that's a positive thing for Daniel Lewis.
Right. And I think that he's looked a lot more solid this year, a lot more dynamic this year, and I think that a lot more confidence and hasn't had as many issues with that. And I know he hasn't wrestled the toughest schedule and got pushed a whole lot, but I'm picking him. Tiger Homerism, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing I like about this matchup is that he's powerful, which I've wrestled with him, so I know that from firsthand experience. So I think he's powerful enough to get on Mark Hall's legs and finish. And then secondly, I think he's smart enough to stay out of Mark Hall's tricks.
The only thing I wouldn't even say challenge. I'd just bring up another point to add on to what you were saying. I think that he is strong enough to finish, but he's going to have to get in on multiple shots to finish one. I don't think he's going to finish a high percentage of his shots. He's going to need to get in on probably three to four shots before he's going to finish one.
Yeah, I would generally agree with that. And then unfortunately, I just don't think Daniel's got I don't think he's got what it takes to go with Zahid in the finals. And Zahid's just going to be too persistent on his offense. We have seen Daniel kind of wear out as matches go on. That's where I think Zahid, if you watch him, he just keeps attacking and attacking and attacking and attacking. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Relentless.
Relentless. Gotta love it. Okay. So we both did the same thing there. Zahid over for Daniel Lewis. All right. 184, Bo Nickel, Miles Martin, Ryan Preisch, Pete Renda, Dominic Abinader. Your picks, go.
Well, I'm gonna go with a Nickel Abinader final or semi.
Yep, I like that.
And I'm gonna go with the easy. Well, Martin's gonna make the semis. I can't pick Marriott because he's gonna have Martin second round. Otherwise, I'd pick him to make the semis. But my man, Canton Marriott. I'm hoping for him to have a really good tournament, but he's not gonna make the finals.
Marcus, for God's sakes, now you're talking about 15 seed making the finals. Just get on with it.
He's my dude. I like Canton a lot. He's a good kid. So I'm just giving him a little shout out support. All right, but
you know who you sound like right now. You sound like Joel Supernaut. Are you going to give a Nicky Bone away in this show too?
A no neck Nicky Bone award. Just text in your nominations.
And you remember that one show where you just started giving shout outs to any dipshit that tweeted it?
On Facebook.
Oh, God. All right,
wrangle it back in.
Don't be that. Well, you're that guy. You're giving 15 seed shout outs, Marcus. Come on, man.
He's sitting right here next to Miles Martin on the bracket while I'm talking about Miles Martin.
Okay.
My Mar.
All right, come on.
All right. And I'm trying to move on.
Okay, go.
Relax.
All right, Joel.
All right. So ultimately I pick Nickel over Mymar in the finals. I don't think Miles Martin I think he's gonna be able to have good close matches with him. I just don't know if he's gonna be able to beat him again.
I totally agree. You know what? Sometimes Tommy's a nice, composed podcast host, and Marcus, you're doing a nice, composed job. I wish I had a podcast partner that would lose his damn mind like Joel Supernaut did sometimes. That was the best radio when Joel would just lose his damn mind for no reason and start yelling and flipping out about stuff.
You got to start making fun of me more.
Okay. Remember that one time I threw you on your dome piece because you were endlessly taunting me on the disc golf course?
Yeah, tell everyone why.
Well, Joe Williamson, Flo Joe, and Marcus were paired up against me and Gabe on spring break 2006. And you know, I was trying to hold mine of the bargain. I don't know that Gabe was holding up his end of the bargain. Marcus and Joe beat us a few courses in a row, and then we made a bet for the Hodge Trophy, which I did not give him, and I still have not given him. Now take it out. Take it out of my dead, cold
Joe Flo. Joe Flo, we got to collect on that debt. I own half of the Hodge.
And Marcus was being annoying, so annoying, taunting me on this one course. And by like hole 13, I had it. And I hit a step
row. Would you say you lost your mind?
Yeah, I lost my damn mind. And I hit a step. I hit a beautiful step around body lock, put you in the dirt on the disc golf course.
Trapped arm too, I believe so.
Absolutely.
Surprised I didn't separate my AC joint.
Well, that's what you get when you mess with the big dogs.
That would have messed up my hyzer for sure.
Well, if I remember it right, because I know my dominant side, it would have been your right shoulder. So that would have been perfect to slow you down.
It would have put me out. And I wouldn't have been able to make that putt over a 10-foot mulch pile that I couldn't even see the basket.
And I do remember the Marcus. I remember, not that everyone in our audience is interested in this, but I do remember once I let that anger out by body locking you, I think my team birdied the next 7 holes in a row, and we lost by 1 stroke.
You had me rattled because I didn't know when you were going to sneak attack me again, throw me in a basket or something.
Okay, 197. We got Colin Moore. We got Ben Darmstadt. 3, Jared Haught. 4, Mike Machiavelli. 5, Shakur Rashid. 6, Willie Mickles. So here's what I got. I got Colin Moore over Mike Machiavelli, getting one back in the semis, making the finals. On the bottom side, I got Mickles over Haught, and then I got Darmstadt over Mickles, and I would love to pick Mickles, but after seeing Darmstadt versus Mickles the last time, I struggle to see Willie beating him. And funny enough, those guys went head-to-head at Funky Fresh Camp 2016 or 2015, I think, when Ben was in high school.
Just throw in that shameless promotion.
Damn straight I am. No problem with that. Ben Darmstadt over Colin Moore to win an NCAA title as a freshman.
You got Darmstadt over Moore?
Yeah, damn straight I do.
No way. No way.
What do you got?
I got Moore over Darmstadt, but everything else I agreed with.
Okay. I just think Ben's going to be too tricky for Colin Moore. Colin Moore, him choosing neutral against Shakur Rashid, that was a big red flag for me. Big red flag. Because Rashid, although he's really dangerous on top, you can get away from him. You absolutely can.
Did he pick it, though, because he didn't think he could get away? Are we sure?
Well, I don't see why not. When the score is 6-4, and you give up a takedown to tie it up, the most intelligent thing you can do there is pick down, because then if you get the escape, you're up by 3.
I mean, I'm not arguing with your logic. I'm just saying you can't read his mind.
Well, or can I?
I don't disagree with you. I'm just giving you a hard time. I think that. Oh, man.
Did you listen to me go off about the scoring system in wrestling, in folkstyle wrestling? Do you agree or disagree that it should be not changed?
I don't think that it should be changed.
Okay, good. Now, if you did, I was going to kick you off the podcast.
I think that wrestling's in a good place right now. I know, as far as college wrestling and the spectator part of it, I think it's really good right now. And I don't think we need to be messing with it a whole lot.
I agree. Totally. Okay, let's go heavyweight. We'll wrap it up with the heavyweights. I think, again, we could both agree that this one would be, in fact, a two-horse race. I think seeing anyone else in the finals would be mind-blowing.
Kuhn over Snyder. I couldn't hold it in any longer. That's my pick.
Damn! I got Snyder over Kuhn. Very, very similar match to the Big Tens. He's going to struggle to get a takedown on Kuhn, but Kyle Snyder, he's a great American, Marcus, to quote Father Baker. He's going to find a way to get it done.
He is a great American, but Kuhn is a freaking rocket scientist. He's going to make adjustments.
I knew he wanted to be an astronaut, but is he really a rocket scientist?
I don't know.
Do you got to be a rocket scientist to be an astronaut? Because I would imagine that the same people that design the aircraft and the ones that fly it, they're not the same people.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, think of a NASCAR driver. I'm pretty sure he knows how the engine works.
But could he build an engine?
Well, maybe he's not the best at building the engines, but I'm sure.
Are we comparing freaking Ricky Bobby and Neil Armstrong right now?
Neil Armstrong's a great American.
Damn straight he is.
Unless he's lying to us about the moon landing.
Then he would be a terrible American.
I think it's really hard to bet against Snyder, but.
But you did.
But I did.
Okay, so are you picking, you said you're picking Penn State, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm picking too.
What's the team score?
I picked, in my pools, I picked Ohio State winning with 143 points, and so I'm going to go, with 139 for Penn State.
139.
It'll be the highest ever scoring number one and number two.
Whew, that's a lot of points between two teams.
Yeah, most ever.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
So who do you got?
I got Penn State.
Oh. Okay, what's the final score?
I think some people are going to take some lumps, and it's going to be only about 132.
132 to what?
Probably the upper 120s. It's going to come down to the last.
So you're saying it's coming down to the wire also.
Yeah, I think
so. You're saying you're picking Kuhn.
Yeah.
To Kuhn ruin the day for Ohio State.
That's going to lose them the national final.
In Cleveland.
Yeah.
That would be awfully dramatic.
It would be.
If Kyle Snyder, a great American hero, can't win an NCAA title for himself and for the Buckeyes in the Buckeye State, something is wrong. If that's the case, we need to start fixing the results like WWE does.
You realize what just happened inadvertently?
I don't know what.
I turned Ben Askren into the baby face, and I just turned heel. Everyone's going to hate me now.
Everybody. Everybody.
Except for Michigan and Adam Kuhn.
That's it. You got about four friends. That's about all.
Well, Adam Kuhn's a pretty big friend.
Very, very, very large gentleman. All right, so Marcus. That was fun. Brought you on here. So for those of you guys living in the St. Louis area, check out Thoroughbred Wrestling Academy. You can also find Marcus on YouTube at Lighter Shade of White and Stu Stallings. Marcus, do you have any other shameless plugs to give you before we hop off the air?
Oh, man, I really appreciate you having me on. It was awesome.
It was fun. And
I can't wait to watch some freaking wrestling this weekend.
Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you.
I wish I was there, but I'll be
on at the last minute.
And like you.
All right, Marcus, have a great night. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Dahmer Mats and Defense Soap. And, guys, I can't wait to talk about this next week. Peace. You are listening to the T-Row and Fungi Show, and it is brought to you by Defense Soap. Defend what you've built. Tommy, I got to say, I tried these products. He shipped me a box. I love them. I've had, if you know me, you know I've had ringworm issues for a long time. I'm looking forward to putting these in my repertoire and hoping the ringworm does not come back ever.
No doubt, Ben. And to top that off, the company was created by wrestlers. Guy Seiko wrestled at Cleveland State University. His son was an All-American at Virginia, so these people really get it. They know what the wrestling community needs.